You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In today's episode, Reggie reflects on the meaning of the following Dharma Ocean aspiration chant. May I develop an attitude of complete acceptance and openness to all situations, emotions, and to all people. This talk was given at the 2010 Winter Datun, a month-long retreat held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
Yesterday, we talked about Maitri. Which is cultivating an attitude of loving kindness towards ourselves. And we talked about how it's unconditional loving kindness, meaning that we're not talking about that there are certain parts of ourselves we're going to love, and then there are other parts we're not going to love. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an attitude of loving kindness towards everything that we are. Now, this is not abstract. This is not an abstract idea. It is actually inviting us into a way of being with ourselves that's very different from what we have grown up with and learned, even from our religious traditions. In fact, even the religious traditions themselves, and especially the religious traditions, including Buddhism, teach us that there are certain parts of ourselves that are not acceptable. And every different tradition has its own version of what that looks like. But they all do it. In the Vajrayana, we are talking about Maitri in an unconditional way. Now, how do we know who we are? That's an interesting question. If I say we need to develop an attitude of unconditional loving kindness to who we are, who are we? What's included? Where do we find out about it? Who we are is completely and readily available in one place and one place only. Who we are does not exist independent of our experience. There is no me outside of the flow of experience. There are many ideas that we have about ourselves which are nothing but ideas. They're just concepts. I mean, they have no basis in reality, actually, zero. Who we actually are is our experience, moment by moment. That's who we are. There isn't any other me apart from that. So Maitri means not turning away from our experience. Maitri means opening ourselves to our own experience, whatever it may be. The ultimate Maitri practice, or let's say the ultimate Maitri view, is, as it says in our new aspiration, to develop an attitude of complete acceptance and openness to all situations and emotions and to all people, experiencing everything completely without mental reservation, evasion, or blockages, so that we do not centralize on ourselves or withdraw from life. That's what Maitri, that's the view of Maitri, that's what we're talking about. This is Vajrayana Maitri. This is not the Maitri that you may have heard about and read about in some of the books. That Maitri is a wonderful Maitri, the Mahayana Maitri. It's wonderful and very good and very, very helpful and makes us very tender towards ourselves. But this one is the ultimate Maitri. This is Vajrayana as Maitri. I was saying yesterday that in order to do that, we have to find the wherewithal within ourselves to not judge what happens in our experience, to not judge the situations we find ourselves in, and that's a big one. You know, a lot of us are in difficult situations. Some of us have been told that we're going to die, and we might think that there's a problem, you know, that we did something wrong. Some of us find ourselves in very, very painful and confusing relationships, and we might feel that there's something wrong, that we did something wrong, that we're not being who we should be. Those are examples of judging in situational terms. Or we're in a horrible job and we have a boss who's impossible, abusive, manipulative, whatever, and we might feel that we actually did something wrong. And when we say to develop an attitude of complete acceptance and openness to all situations, what we actually mean is all situations. So that every situation that we ever meet is immaculate and beyond judgment. And our task in the practice of Maitri is to be there, to not judge it, evaluate it, criticize it, or even praise it. You know, if we write a book and suddenly it's a national bestseller, from the viewpoint of Maitri, that means absolutely nothing. And I mean it, it means nothing. It's totally irrelevant to the journey, except that it acts as a trigger, and we can work with the trigger. It triggers me into thinking, hey, you know, I'm really a great guy, and everybody loves me, and I'm popular, and I finally my dreams have come true. Well, that's great, good. Now you have to work with that situation so it doesn't get between you and the journey. In the Tibetan tradition, it's always said that positive experiences are much more dangerous than negative, you know, as far as judgment and criticism of oneself and cutting oneself down. Because the minute you identify with being a successful person or a famous person or whatever you want to say, immediately all the other parts of you are marginalized. It happens instantly. The minute you identify with the positive side, all of a sudden a whole universe of yourself goes into hiding. So we're talking about not judging any situation. That's what it means to be open to a situation. It means that you're there and you're in it, and it may be painful, it may be pleasurable, and there may be a temptation to want to draw conclusions from the situation. And we're talking about avoiding drawing conclusions from the situation completely, totally, and utterly. Situations mean nothing except what they are. As I said yesterday, do you want to know, you're in a situation and you're in a painful situation. You just overdrew your bank account, and all of a sudden all these terrible things that happen now when we overdraw a bank account, you know, maybe we don't have ready reserve or we overdrew that. All these terrible things happen. And we might think, well, what does it mean? It only means itself. It only means what happened. There's no meaning beyond the situation itself and how it presents. The situation itself, if you want to put it in terms that we've been using, the situation itself is the face of Pele. It's the fire of Pele. And when we remove ourselves from the situation to try to figure it out or pin it down or figure out its meaning or come to some conclusion, all of a sudden the fire goes out. It's just a bunch of cold embers. So the first part of Maitri is developing this complete acceptance and openness toward all situations. And then the second one is all emotions. And this one is challenging. Because, you know, particularly here at the Datin, you know, there are many, many emotions that come up of all kinds. Some of them are the same old familiar things. You know, we like, oh, I'm depressed, or oh, that's my trauma, or oh, that's because I'm so disconnected, or oh, gee, you know, I feel, you know, my heart feels really shut down, and that's because, you know, I'm really a shut down person, and, you know, all the stories, right, that evolve around the emotions that come up. And, but the interesting point is, some of the emotions are actually very positive. Sometimes we feel a tremendous rush of energy, and we feel very awake, and we feel very present, and, you know, with all due respect, those are extremely important experiences, as are the negative ones. But at that time, we come to some interesting conclusions, such as, wow, I got rid of my being shut down. I feel so open and tender. That means I'm not going to be shut down anymore. Or, you know, I feel so much energy. You know, I've been, like, dragging myself around, you know, for the first, you know, week of the Datin, and wow, I finally had a breakthrough, and I'm going to just feel all this energy, and it's really great, and finally it's really happening for me. That whole conversation is like walking into prison and shutting the door, and it's locked from the outside, and you can't get out. So when we talk about developing an attitude of complete acceptance and openness to all emotions, openness means not judging it, and simply being with the intensity of the energy of the emotion. Not trying to use the emotion to draw conclusions that reinforce my story about myself. Can you imagine living in a way so that your emotions flow through freely and you don't draw any conclusions about them or from them? You don't try to pin them down. You don't try to find out what they mean. You simply allow the intensity to work on you. The analogy given here is having an orgasm. When we have an orgasm, there is a moment of true surrender, and we are simply there experiencing the orgasm as it is, and there is a gap in the mind. There is a moment which might last a long time. It might be absolutely like a lightning strike, but at that moment we are really, Pelle likes this. We are right with the experience, and that's the analogy of how we need to be with actually our emotions altogether. That's how we need to be, is to have that kind of openness and that kind of complete surrender and that kind of really unity. You know, we're at one with what's going on. That's the practice of Maitri. That kind of resisting the temptation to judge or pin things down when we have emotions, and no matter what they are, being willing just to be there. That's Vajrayana Maitri, and that's what we're talking about, not judging on any level. And then the third one, which is obviously a very, very interesting one, is, so we talked about situations and emotions, and also developing an attitude of complete acceptance and openness toward all people. And whereas the the situations and the emotions are, you know, we would appear to kind of a little bit of control over that. Obviously, with other people, it's a little bit more complicated because the whole, you know, the whole nature of our relationships with other people is although it's not fundamentally regarded as different from the situations and emotions, nevertheless, people are they have a very special role on the path. When we meet people, we are meeting parts of our larger self that are coming back to communicate with us and to invite us to let them in. Let them in doesn't mean sort of just becoming a victim at all, but what it means is letting in the reality of the person. When we meet a spiritual teacher, so we'll start, you know, kind of with some more vivid examples. When we meet a spiritual teacher and we feel a deep sense of connection, we are meeting our own authentic self that is calling to us. And through the relationship with the teacher, as we've discussed, initial experience is dependency. Well, we're cultivating a dependency that over time will allow us to get to know, and then through the practice to discover in ourselves those very same qualities that we love in the teacher. And we love those qualities in the teacher because they are our deeper self coming to call us. When we meet people and we feel very taken with them, people who we feel, you know, wow, you know, I have really have a strong connection with this person, that is an aspect of our deeper self coming, calling. When we meet people that we don't like, it's particularly powerful and significant on the path, because in those people, we are meeting aspects of ourselves that are as yet unknown to us. And they are aspects of ourselves that, because they're negative, we have pushed them out of our awareness. They are aspects of ourselves that on the journey we have to integrate in order to be whole. The journey of Vajrayana, I think you know very well, is not a journey toward perfection. It's not a journey toward realizing some ideal that we have in our mind of the person we could be. The journey of Vajrayana is a journey toward wholeness, so that we know in ourselves everything that we are. Now, the interesting thing about this is that we, you might think it is rather a doleful, woeful prospect that we have to, we meet somebody who is very ambitious, and the first thing that we think is, oh, this person is very ambitious and I'm not really that ambitious myself, but they're ambitious and they really trigger me and I really hate people like that. And it might come as a somewhat disappointing notification that actually if we look at ourselves carefully, and this is the practice that we do with people that we can't stand, you begin to look into yourself and you begin to ask yourself, you do a little inquiry. And the inquiry is, this is interesting, this person, I can't stand this person, I loathe this person. And so the inquiry is, are there parts of myself that really I'm seeing in this other person? Are there parts of myself, you know, are there places where I'm really actually very ambitious? Maybe they're hiding a little bit beneath the surface and I don't really quite see them. But if I look, and if I'm really honest with myself, and this is a great place to do it, in the shrine room, You know, are there parts of myself that really are very ambitious, manipulative, sleazy, prideful, mean, nasty? You know, I mean, is there a part of myself that, you know, I'm a pretty kind person, I'm, you know, I feel like I'm really nice to other people, you know, and I don't really don't like nasty people, I think that's really anti-dharmic. And blah, 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 blah. But is it possible, if I'm really looking at myself, that there's a part of me that is really downright nasty and mean? And I think what we discover, you know, when we do this kind of inquiry is that indeed, with anybody that triggers us, in any particular attitudes or qualities that really drive us crazy, if we really look inside, particularly in this kind of environment, we begin to discover those very same qualities in ourselves. And what it does, it does a couple of interesting things. One thing is, it makes us soften toward the other person. It's like, wow, you know, I've been putting this all on the other person, and all of my anger and hatred of these qualities in me, I've actually been putting on them. Wow, that's amazing. But the other thing that it does, and this is a very, very important part of the path, is if we realize that within ourselves, at any given time, that we are fully capable of being mean, of actually trying to hurt people, other people, that we are we're greedy, that we're judgmental, that we're disconnected, whatever it is, you know. Over time, through this practice that is Maitri, Vajrayana Maitri, that I'm suggesting, now we're talking about the people. Over time, we begin to develop a very interesting and helpful inventory of our shadow, our personal shadow. And this inventory makes us, puts us in a very interesting place. Normally, what we do with ourselves is we live in our own brightness. Or we try to live in our brightness. In other words, we try to live in our daylight world. We, you know, you could say there's the shadow, and then there's the conscious self, which is rather, not always, but in most cases, it's quite positive, and it's ignoring all the darker aspects of ourselves. And we tend to position ourselves up in the daylight. And when we position ourselves in the daylight, the problem with that is that we ignore the shadows. Our eyes become accustomed to the sun, and we actually cannot see the darkness in ourselves anymore. That's a big problem for spirituality, because we think spirituality is about being that daylight self. We actually come to that conclusion. But when we develop this inventory of all of the aspects of ourselves, through particularly all the people that we meet in life that we don't like or that we find repulsive in some way, that inventory then becomes part of our possibility rather than our reality. In other words, when we live in the daylight world, we actually think that's who we are. But when we've developed the inventory of both the daylight world and the shadow world, where we position ourselves is right in the middle, in the exact moment of twilight, where we are neither daylight nor shadow. And there's nothing to hang on to, and there's no identity we can fixate, and there's no way to define ourselves, because we're between the light and the dark. And when the dark happens, it's familiar. And we can engage with it, and we can talk to it, and we cannot be taken over. And when the daylight happens, again, we see it, we know it's not us in any ultimate sense, but we can appreciate it, We can fly with it, but we don't solidify it, and we don't try to draw conclusions about ourselves. In this sense, the relationships that we have in life, and especially the relationships that we have in the Sangha, are incredibly important for the path. They give us an opportunity to practice Maitri with ourselves. So it's very interesting. You know, we talk a lot about compassion, and we think that I'm going to be compassionate to this person, I'm going to try to accept this person. What we have to realize is actually it's a practice of Maitri. Relating with other people is fundamentally a Vajrayana Maitri practice, because we are, in fact, meeting ourselves. We're meeting our future. No person comes along in our life that isn't a part of our larger self coming to be welcomed. Every person we meet wants to be welcomed by us, no matter who they are. And that includes our enemies. That's fundamentally what everybody wants. They want us to meet them with an open heart. They want us to receive them, to see them as they are. This is part of the magic of the universe. They come with that because that's what we need in order to grow. That's what we need to make the journey. So we're talking here about the sacredness, particularly of the Sangha. But it's true of everybody we meet. The Sangha situation is quite interesting because within this kind of environment, people appear very naked and very raw and very much themselves. Isn't it true? I mean, when I'm in this kind of program, there could be somebody that I've known for a long, long, long time, and it's very often happens that I feel like I'm just really seeing them for the first time in this program. When we get into the space, somebody, you know, they hang around for a long time, and, you know, we've talked, we've had interviews in Boulder, whatever. They come here, and I look at them, and all of a sudden, I get it. I get who they are. I see. So it's a particularly powerful in this kind of situation. And then who people truly are, really, you have this dilemma. On the one hand, they trigger you, and you can't stand them. On the other hand, you see them, and you see that what you're doing is really isn't really kind of... You see it for what it is, that you're putting stuff on them. So it's very powerful. So this is the situation of Vajrayana Maitri, that we're talking about developing this attitude of openness, complete acceptance and openness to all situations and all emotions and all people. And we're doing it because that's how we become who we need to be. That's how we make the journey. That's how we develop the wholeness that is the goal of our practice and our path. What that wholeness is, as I've been saying to you already, it has no limit or boundary. The journey of human life, right now we're in a human body, and maybe we're going to be that way for a long time. But at the same time, the journey does not stop once we transcend the human condition. The human condition grows and grows and grows, and all of a sudden what we discover is to really be a human being is to be all people. And then to really be a human being means to be the whole planet. And then to be a human being really means being the solar system, and then the galaxy, and then all of space and time. That's really what it means to be human. And at this moment, we have a kind of a little bit of a restricted notion of what it means to be human. But it goes on forever, and when we identify ourselves, when we begin to discover who we are as the totality, then that's just the beginning of the journey. So this is the vast perspective of Vajrayana Maitri. And this is why it is so important for us not to judge anything that happens in our life, but simply to receive it. There is a curious thing about time. that is at work here, which is that, as I said the other day, time from a certain point of view is not real. And we know this because when we touch the basic nature of mind, as I was leading you in the other day, when we touch that basic space, and as Vajrayana students, that's what this, the whole Vajrayana tradition is about, learning how to touch and be touched and then enter in and then surrender and then become that space. When we touch that nature of mind and we are there, there is no time. Truly there is not. And we have the experience of no past, no present, and no future. We transcend time. But on the relative level, you know, of course we are people and we live our lives. On the relative level, we have these moments of time, and these moments of time, these experiences that make up our life, you know, the thread of experience that we talked about the very first day, this is the path. Experience is the path. And to follow the path, we need to receive experience without judgment. Sometimes things happen. Experience is a stepping stone. It's a gateway. And when we divert ourselves and we go in a different direction, then we're turning away from our own life. To practice Maitri to oneself is the deepest practice there is. And it begins with not judging. So maybe we could put some signs up over the next few days. Don't judge. And we'll make up some like different ways of saying it so it's a little more interesting. Refrain from judgment. Don't judge experience. Boycott judging. Why don't we just do that for a couple of days? Is that okay, coordinators? Get those up, and just as a reminder, if we could let go of the judgmentalism that goes on with us in this dhatun, a lot of possibilities would open up in a huge way. So maybe we can work on that. The thing about time is, what time does, time is a Buddha, strangely enough. Buddha means that there are a lot of blessings and gifts in our life, and they arrive. They arrive with their own signature. And time, the way time works is that time delivers to us in each moment the exact thing we need to make the journey. The exact thing that we need to make the journey. Each experience is precisely, in all the reaches of time and space, it's exactly what's needed. And there is no other journey except that moment. There is no other gate to the future except this exact moment. And it comes to us in a totally personal way. Our experience is so unknown to others, even to ourselves. And it's so personal. And it is the gate that we need to step through. So Vajrayana Maitri, which is not judging, if you can refrain from judging, then the journey, that's all you have to do. And all of the practices that we do are in service of this one thing, Vajrayana Maitri. The body work, as I said yesterday, is so powerful and so transformative, and so magical. Because when we're in the body, we are in the space of Maitri. And we are in a position to not judge. When we are truly in the body, whatever we're doing, whether we're doing 10 points practice, or lower belly breathing, or threefold breathing, or whatever it may be, when we're doing that, we are in the space of Maitri. And we're not judging. Being in the body is being with the larger self. Being in the body is having put aside the incessant discursiveness and judgmentalism of the thinking mind. Being in the body is being at the boundary of the unconscious. It's being in this liminal space. Liminal space means, liminal is a term developed by the anthropologist Victor Turner. And he's a British, very great anthropologist. And his thing was, something about indigenous societies is they know how to create liminal space for their communities. Liminal space is what you go into for the initiation ceremonies that lead you into reality. And liminal space means it doesn't exist, it doesn't not exist, it's not bright, it's not dark, it's not the conventional world, it's not some other world. It's a space where there is no reference point. This dhatun is a liminal space. Now I grant you, you may think the reference point's here, but I'm honored to inform you that that's just your mind. There actually are no reference points here of any kind in this space. It's a liminal space. When we are in the body, we are in the initiatory space. We're in the liminal space. We're in the twilight between the light and the dark. So the body work becomes the way in which we learn how to not judge. Because the thing is, you can say, don't judge. But how do you do it? And then you judge, and then you judge the fact that you judged. And then you suddenly realize that you judged that. And so you try to like pin down the fact that, well, I'm still being judgmental. And then you realize that that's a judgment. I mean, there's no way out, except there's one way out, and that's the body. So that's why, that's one reason among many, that the body work at this point becomes a critical, central, basic, important practice. Now, a lot of people have here a lot of different practices they do, and there's no problem with that. But what I would like to see is that everybody here realizes the importance of the body and carries this practice forward into whatever you do with your life, whether you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Christian or you're not religious, a Tibetan Buddhist, a Zen Buddhist, whatever you do, that the body becomes your way of developing in the most profound way possible non-judgment. Non-judgment as a way of moving through your life.
Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Kechog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.